So after discussing paganism during lunch, and we continue talking about paganism. Here, we're not going to burn any papers. We're going to believe that there is an extra dimension. It's more or less the same, isn't it? Because the Abrahamic Judaism Christian lore is supersymmetry. So you won't worship anything but supersymmetry. Well, today I'm going to worship.
I think this is more like theology, Scientology rather than paganism.
Okay. I take that. So today I'm gonna talk about. Technically, what I'm gonna talk today doesn't care of where did I get the first resonances. I'm gonna base my or make an introduction to the software model. But what I'm gonna talk today is just producing at the LHC a copy of the gluon of 2.4 TeV, a copy of the photon of the Z, so a Z prime, a photon prime, a gluon prime, and a W prime of mass 2.4 TeV. If you don't care about the software model and you don't care about this dimension, you just can consider that my model is the standard model plus a 2.4 TeV. You have a resonance of the gluon, a resonance of the photon, a Z prime, and a W prime. And then, sensei, you don't care. Okay? But in any case, I'm going to introduce to you why is that interested for the sake of it. So we know that we have discovered the Higgs, although ATLAS seems to see two Higgses. I'm not going to comment on that right now. And once we know that it is a Higgs, the next question is just a standard model Higgs, or it is not? So here I want to take the attitude that it's not the standard model Higgs. We have to address electroweak-symmetry breaking. The Higgs is there, it's great, it's 126 GeV, but why does it get a vacuum expectation value? Well, there are lots of ideas. SUSY is one of them, Technicolor may be almost dead, although people are now trying to reconnect Higgs full Technicolor, whatever that means. You have X dimensions. So this series I will start to explain why and how the Higgs gets a VEF. So in the standard model, the Higgs VEF is put by hand. You just put a potential. You just put the mass term to negative, and then you tune the parameters so as the VEF of the Higgs is 246. In a theory that wants to address that, you want to find a dynamical origin for that VEF. So one of these most interesting setups that has driven lots and lots and lots of papers is warp extra dimensions. They were introduced by Lisa Randall and Raman Sundrum in 98, if I remember correctly, as an alternative to supersymmetry in the way it stabilizes the extra dimension. So one way of viewing extra dimensions is that you have a non-trivial geometry in 5D, and this non-trivial curvature is the one that explains the hierarchy problem through warping. So the way you can view it in the 5D picture, and remember, these warp x dimensions can always be just viewed as four-dimensional theories, strongly coupled theories, but I'm going to base my talk today on the five-dimensional explanation to this. So you have a non-trivial metric, like this one. You have the usual 4D space-time, and then the fifth dimension, instead of being just a flat x dimension, like the usual four, then it's warped. So that means that you have a non-trivial curvature in the extra dimension. This non-trivial curvature, K, if it's constant, as in the Randall-Sundrum original model, means that in five dimensions you have a slice of ADS5, anti-Deisseter 5. This solution is stable. It's a solution to a particular setup of Einstein's equation. You have two brains, and you have a cosmological constant in the bulk, and then by tuning the both brain tension to the cosmological constant in the bulk, you reproduce this metric. And also, Goldberg and Weiss showed a mechanism how you can stabilize the radian in a non-supersymmetric way. Of course, in supersymmetry, it's very easy to, well, very easy, quote unquote, to generate this kind of setups. And also, in string theory, in particular, type 2 compactification with fluxes, you can also derive throats like this. So in the minimal model, you suppose there are two brains located at the end of the extra dimension. And this non-factorizable geometry means that the fundamental scale is y-dependent. The fundamental scale under which gravity interacts depends on the location on the x dimension. So if you localize the Higgs field towards large values of y, then you can explain why the fundamental scale for the Higgs is a TeV, whereas the fundamental scale for gravity is the Planck scale. In the original paper of Randall and Sundrum, everything was localized on the what is called the IR brain, and only gravity was allowed to propagate. Beyond the minimal theory, you could allow every single field to propagate in the ball, except, in particular, the Higgs. You want the Higgs to remain on the IR brain or close to the IR brain for this setup to provide with an explanation to the hierarchy problem. As any theory with a compact x dimension, you will generate Keki modes. You just solve your Klein-Gordon or your Dirac equation in five dimensions. You introduce the usual Fünf-Wein. Is that correct, Carlos? Fünf-Wein? The tetrad in five dimensions? Fünf-Wein instead of Fünf-Wein. Okay, sorry. I don't have any
German. Right,
you are completely right.
Your ability to form languages is good.
You are completely right, Cliff. So you use the metric and everything, and then you find the Keki modes are just Bessel functions, zeros of the Bessel functions. And then one of the also very interesting properties of these warp x dimension models is that you can have a dual picture based loosely on the Maldacena conjecture, that these five-dimensional models on a warp background can be viewed as a four-dimensional strongly coupled theory, where you are just creating a theory where the Higgs is a composite. And then you interpret the KK modes as composite copies of your fundamental fields. In this way, you can understand that KK modes couple strongly to the Higgs because they are composites. What happens is that in order to accommodate TeV masses for the Keki mode, and I mean TeV because I want this mass of the Keki modes to cut off the Higgs quadratic divergence, if you wish, then you require some kind of gymnastics. Why is that? Is that in the minimal model with gauge bosons and fermions in the bulk, the interaction of the Keki modes with the Higgs introduces a quite big contribution to the rho parameter. The rho parameter is the ratio of the mass of the z times the cosine square of the Weinberg angle over the mass of the w in the standard model at three level that is equal to 1. In the standard model, that's only violated mildly by the top Yukawa. So, and that condition is what is called SU2R or custodial symmetry. Since your KK modes don't fall into representation of the custodial symmetry, if you don't do anything, these KK modes will in turn have contribution to the rho parameter, which are too big, which means that if you don't do anything, the KK masses of this particle has to be around 10 TeV or more, which means that this theory will stop solving the hierarchy problem. There are ways out, and one of them
is brain-localized mass terms.
Yes, but the brain-localized mass terms, in order for them to solve this issue, they have to be of a value which you start believing in the A.
So they have to be like much larger than the brain, yes, brain,
yes.
Value, but that's just like a small fine-tuning. You introduce the small fine-tuning.
You can introduce a small fine-tuning there,
right.
But also there is a big problem if you don't have custodial symmetry, is that any potential UV contribution could be also violating the rho parameter. So you can, but this SU2R, oh, sorry.
No, I have no, this is a very motivation, I just
want
to understand the.
No, the SU2R is not new, it's not something that you use in Technicolor. This is the usual SU2 cross SU2 they have to include in the theory in order not to have big contribution to the T parameter. And this is also the similar thing you have to do in little Higgs. In little Higgs, you don't need a full group, but in little Higgs, what you do is you include T parity to avoid big contributions to the T parameter. In the MSSM, you don't need it because the MSSM, as a standard model, has custodial symmetry as an accidental symmetry. That's true, because in the MSSM, the only thing is that you double the Higgs spectrum, but two doublets of SU2 is also a bi-doublet. So this is what happened, is that a doublet of SU2 is also a bi-doublet of SU2 plus SU2, so it's just an accident. In any theory beyond the standard model that is not accidentally SU2 invariant, you have to do something to preserve the almost symmetric custodial symmetry. Okay? Another possible, and I'm going to introduce them because in this case you don't need custodial, is a situation where the metric is not as clean as before. So it's still a non-factorizable, it's still have a Ward factor, but the Ward factor is not just ky. It's ky plus a logarithmic part. This is known as the soft wall scenario, and it's not invented by me or by any other language. Soft walls have been known in GR for a long time. There are solutions in five-dimensional Einstein's equation when you have, apart from non-trivial cosmological constant, you also have a dilaton in the bulk. So you have a non-trivial dilaton, and it's actually new, can be related to the anomalous dimension of the dilaton. So this is also a solution.
This couldn't be a solution to the matter-free equation, right?
Correct. To need a dilaton.
Sorry.
No, of course, no. For if it's matter-free, the only solution for matter-free are three, which are maximally symmetric. No, precisely, you're right. In order to reproduce this, you need a dilaton. And also, you see, since the dependence is logarithmic, you can see that it's just the running. If you wish, it can be viewed as the running of the dilaton in the bulk. But this is also a metric that you can find dynamically. I'm not just putting this metric by hand. The only extra thing is that you have a dilaton with a non-trivial, it's called in the literature superpotential, because the first time these solutions were found in the string theory. But you don't need, this is still called superpotential, but you don't need supersymmetry. But yes, this is a solution to Einstein's equation with matter in the bulk. And there's certain tuning you have to get, as in the Goldberger wise. There is a singularity, YS, but I'm going to suppose that the singularity is outside the physical region. I'm going to put here an end to my space to avoid questions about the singularity. This is not new. Also, the soft wall has used not only for the purposes I want to discuss today, which is electrical physics. People have used the soft wall for what is called ADS QCD, which is to address QCD using an ADS setup. This soft wall allows you to reproduce the Rayleigh trajectories in QCD. The spectrum, if you consider the kicking modes of this model, the spectrum goes at the mass square goes like n and not like n squared, which is what we see in QCD. So ADS, the soft wall has also been used for pion physics, essentially. Here we're going to suppose it's electrical physics. So here you have your KK mods, as usual. The only difference is that now everything has to be done numerically. You cannot solve even semi-analytically the equations of motion as you do in the Randall's Lundon, that you just get Bessel functions. Here you get hypergeometric functions that you have to essentially program it in Mathematica or wherever you want. And you introduce a non-trivial background for the Higgs. You let the Higgs permeate a little bit into the bulk because that will help you with electroweak precision observables. So this is the Higgs already in the unitary gauge. You have the three Goldstones here that are going to be eaten. You have the profile of the Higgs in the bulk, and then you have the physical Higgs field. So psi is the physical Higgs field, and H is the profile of the Higgs, which is given by the back reaction of the Higgs with the metrics. The Higgs, since it couples to mass, it couples to the dilaton, actually, and this is given by solving the equation of motion of the Higgs with the dilaton. And A is a parameter that is going to let me localize the Higgs. So why do I want to do that? Well, here I'm comparing the profile of the Higgs and the profile of the first KK mode of the photon, both in the Randall-Sundrum case, which is this green and red, and in this modified one, which is this black and blue. And as you can see, whereas in the Randall syndrome, both the Higgs and the photon, they are almost exact, so they overlap a lot, which means in terms that the Higgs and the first KK model of the photon are going to be very, very strongly coupled. Here, in this modified KDS, the Higgs profile is not so much localized into the brain, whereas the KK mode of the photon is much more localized to the brain. In this way, the overlap between these two wave functions is much smaller. What I'm doing is that by this soft walk, I'm pushing out a little bit the Higgs and making the KK modes much more localized toward the higher brain. In this way, these KK modes will couple to the Higgs in a much weaker way. Why do I care for that? Well, if they have a smaller overlap, that means that they have a smaller coupling. If they have a smaller coupling, that means they will have a smaller contribution to the S, T, and U parameters. And if that's true, there is no need for a C2R. So this model is more economical in that sense than Randall syndrome, because that's the need to study isospin in the bulk.
Here, so you're not, the zero mode are not changed only the...
Well, the zero mode, the photon has to be flat because
yeah,
of...
And the other,
for the Ws and the Z ones, they are only modified because of the width of the Higgs.
So you really only affect
the KK mode. So here you see tip three plus benchmark points where the mass of the KK modes are relatively low without the need of custodial isospin.
So in the 40 region, is that sort of a form factor that...
Yes.
Is that suppression?
Yeah. You are suppressed by the volume of the X dimension in this setup. In a sense, if you want the dual picture, it will be that now you have a strong sector which is not so strong. You don't need a lot of suppression because the equivalent one of this point in Randall syndrome, instead of being 2.4 TV, maybe it will be 10 TV. So you need a suppression of only a factor of 5. And this is the squares, you just need a suppression of factor of square root of 5. So you're getting that from the geometry. Okay?
Wait, so you're getting this suppression even though you're pushing the Higgs off the frame a little bit?
Yes, but the point is that
you're
making the Higgs much more into the bulk. And the KK mode is much more into the brain. That's the thing. Because also, it's precisely on the infrared when this metric separates a lot from ADS. Close to the UV, you're still almost ADS. So the behavior of the KK mode close to the UV is as if in Randall syndrome. Okay? So then I have to talk also about how am I going to choose fermions, because the whole point of this model is to be able to address also flavor. So if you choose these C parameters, and the C parameters are the same ones that you have in Randall syndrome, fermions are in the bulk, so each one is defined by a particular C. So we are going to choose this one for quarks, these profiles for quarks are able to reproduce the CKM matrix. On the other hand, for leptons, we are going to suppose that they are all localized into the same place to avoid dangerous Herbert-Chinian neutral currents. So this is the same you do on Randall syndrome. The quark third family doublet has to be sufficiently localized towards where the Higgs is to allow for a sufficiently big, you have a coupling for the top, and the rest, they tend to be localized towards the IR brain. The same that happens in the Randall syndrome mechanism. Okay? And here, the right-handed top is also very much localized toward the IR brain, whereas the bottom right-handed is also localized toward the UV brain. So this is similar to what you do in Randall syndrome. So first, we are going to try to see what is the production and then decays of the first KK mode of the gluons. We are not going to do the fermions because the fermions tend to be always more massive than the gluons and gauge bosons in general. Okay? So then we are going to analyze the signals. We implemented the model in faint rules to be able to give us the couplings. Then we trigger that into MAT graph to calculate cross sections. And we use CTEC 6L1 for the PDFs. And we only state a parton level. We didn't do any detector simulation except for a very naive B tagging that I will explain in the end. Yes.
Is there any effect on the graviton?
No, because the graviton is still completely localized towards the UV brain. Gravitons are, but the KK modes of the graviton, yeah. Yes, it's changed a little bit from Randall's. Although the gravitons is, but producing gravitons at the LHC is always suppressed to producing gluons or things like that. But yes, there is a change in the spectrum of gravitons.
But it's also suppressed.
Yes.
So you also win on that.
Yeah.
Because some of the strongest
bonds
actually come from
Randall syndrome. For Randall syndrome? No, some of the strongest grounds from Randall syndrome depends.
Because for the graviton, you cannot avoid it, right? Like it's completely determined by the geometry.
Yeah.
Like for the Z and the W, you can always just push them up a little bit.
But here, the mass of the graviton will be 3 point something TV, so it's still okay.
Yeah, but you're saying it's
but it couples like a bit weaker than in the Randall syndrome for the same reason. Okay. So first we start with the neutral gauge bosons, the photon and the Z. This is for LHC 14. So these are the cross section for this event. PP to photon, PP to Z, if the mass of the KK mode is 2.4, 4 or 5. And then as you can see, only in the case where you have 2.4 is even thinkable, because here you are already at the atomar level. So we're going to focus just on the benchmark where the mass of the KK photon and the mass of the KK gluon is 2.4 TeV. And as I was telling you at the beginning, you can just imagine now that what I have is a theory like the standard model, and then I have an extra gauge boson with mass 2.4 TeV with some couplings, and from then on you can forget about the soft wall because this is essentially just production of a new gauge boson.
This is 5 discovery level?
No. This is just the cross section. This is a plain cross section. What is the cross section of the production cross section? I haven't included the. This is just the production. I'm going to do now the cuts. This is without any cuts. This is just plain PP2.
But then how do you know whether it's visible?
I'm going to show you now. Okay. But if you already start with a production cross-section of 131 atobar, you are ready only to produce them, you need an inverse atobar. And I don't think we're going to have an inverse atobar in LHC14. That's the thing what I'm saying. In order to this will tell you, for example, 4TV is that in order to produce 131 of these guys, forget about any background, you need an inverse atobar. And an inverse atobar is 1,000 inverse femtograms. And in the LHC8, we had 25 inverse femtograms. So that's why I think is that the only feasible one would be this low mass.
So do you have a simple recipe for how the ZKK,
yes,
compared to sequential Z prime? Roughly, what is the suppression factor?
Very similar. That's why, for example, the bounds on C primes are only at the 1 TeV level now.
No. Sequential is like.
Oh, well, sequential is because in the sequential one, you have the same coupling, so you have a very constraints into.
Yeah.
But this my guy would not decay in leptons. We will mainly decay in tops. Yes, because this guy is close to the. So the sequential is that you have E plus E minus or mu plus B minus that is killing you.
In this picture, the 125 dB is just something you don't
worry about. Oh, I don't care. I'm not trying to explain that. Okay. So So these are the decay widths, and here you say it decays in TTVAR 56% of the times. And the decay in 2 plus E minus is 2 per mil because of the situation. This is for the photon, and this is for the Z, both BB bar and TT bar essentially. Okay? So if you try the dileptons, which would be the Gödel channel, this is what you get, is that the cross-section time branching ratio is 1.26 10 to the minus 5 picoverms. So you need a lot. This is 12 attoverms. So it's out of the question. And that's why this is not ruled out. So if you go to W plus W minus and then you try to decay the W plus W minus semileptonically, then you still have the same. This is requiring both of them semileptonically. This is requiring one of them semileptonically and the other one in two jets to see if that can buy you. But you're still needing one inverse antover and two. So then you are left to calculate hadronic final states. But if you are going to do hadronic final states, you have to include also the gluon. If we were doing things leptonically, you can live without the gluon. But since we are forced to do a hadronic final state, then you cannot disentangle the gluon. So if the gluon at 2.4 will decay 56% of the times in TT bar and 40% in BB bar. So it seems that we can try to discover this particle in a TT bar final state. So essentially what we have here is the process of PP bar, and then you produce any of the three. But most of the time it's going to be only the gluon, because here you see. And this is 14 onto TT bar. So for ATV, the cross section is 1.1 10 to the minus 2 picoverms. And for the 14 TV is 0.1 picoverms. So it's even promising at LHC 8. So here, what we do is find the biggest background. Obviously, the biggest background here is TT bar production without being mediated by my new state. So this is the background, and this is the signal for a 2.4. This is the TT of the top. Yes.
And so we're assuming that you're reconstructing.
Yes, this is what the experimentalists tell us, that the top, they can reconstruct the top completely. That's why we don't do any detector simulation, because at least for tops or TT bar, they are able to reconstruct completely the top. Yes, I'm taking that for granted. And this is for LC14, also the PT of the top. So with a cut of the transfer momentum of the top, 800 GeV, and then also we can cut in the invariant mass. So with a cut of invariant mass between 2.3 and 2.6 GeV, then these are the significance for ATV and 14 TV. For ATV, with 10 inverse femtobarm, that we already have twice that. So the number of events would be 41 without any cuts. And then the signal over background, 5. When you implement the cuts, then the number of events reduce a little bit, but the background really hammers down. So then you get a significant of 16. And if for the 14 TV, it's even more dramatic. So essentially, this kind of gluon of 2.4 TV is either already ruled out when they tell us the new data of TT bar, or it's very easy seen. I suppose when they tell us the TT bar, that I hope they deliver that in Morion. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, because they have to focus on the Higgs. But if they were to give us the TT bar, I think you can put an upper bound on this kind of gluons. So just forget about my model. Let's suppose what is the bound on a gluon that couples. Here it couples almost equally to the tops. I think with 25 inverse femtobarm, you are really going to push this to 3.5 TeV, something like that. Because it's resonant. The important point here that you don't have in gluinos is that this is a resonant production. So that's why you can go much faster. Okay?
By the way, what is the dominant production channel?
It's just gluon gluon.
Gluon to the
Yes, you can have sorry noise key cubar to a gluon. Or glue glue to a gluon. It's kissing.
Okay.
I think that it's a dominant.
Yeah.
So with the current, because they have these sequential Z prime bounds with tops. I mean, can you put any bound on the mask of those? Yeah, because I mean the significance is already 16 at 10.
I know. So I would say with the one of the sequentials, you will be maybe at 2.4, 2.5 already. So yes, this gluon is either already ruled out or whatever. But the point is that they haven't released the TTVAR data yet. They're focusing on the Higgs, so they haven't released. I don't know if they are analyzing TTVAR at these high masses yet. Okay?
Yeah, because I think it was like 1.1.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then let's move on to the W. The W is more challenging, but also can produce different signals. Okay, the W essentially will decay 73% of the time to TB bar, or the opposite. And then you have some into the Higgs and the Z, and then the rest are negligible. So we're also going to focus in the TB bar for the following reason, because if you consider these two, then PP into a WKK, then if the WKK decays in W plus Z, you may want to try to do the BB bar lepton neutrino or the three leptons and neutrino. This is something you could do. You don't want to go all into jets there to see if you can save some time into background. The problem is that you still have the same problem. So first, the WK to top bottom is this. When you decay, you demand the top to decay WB, and then the W decays semileptonically. The other one is when it decays to WZ, and then you have W lepton neutrino, and then L bar. Well, you are still killed by cross section. So only the first one where we're going to demand that the WKK decays in top bottom, the top decays in WB. But in order to avoid too many jets, I'm going to demand that the W decays semileptonically into leptons and neutrinos. And for me, a lepton in this talk is only a muon and an electron. I'm not considering taus. So here is my signal. My signal will be PP to BB bar lepton neutrino. The irreducible background is just W production, because W production can decay the same. Then you have one where you produce a gluon and a W. This is a T-channel exchange. Here, there is no top quark. In this process, there is no top quark. So although you have the same final state, BB bar lepton neutrino, here you don't reconstruct a top quark. And then here, there is another possible background, which is the production of top button, and you radiate a jet. And if the jet is soft, then this can be a potential background for this. It depends on how soft is the jet. So here are the different plots. This is the PT of one of the bottoms. This is the bottom coming directly from the decay of the Ws. So the bottom from the signal, not surprising, it peaks close to half the mass of the entity that it came from, and this is the background. Whereas the other top, the other bottom, since it comes from the decaying of a top, is completely flat. Okay? Then this is the PT of the lepton. This is the signal versus the background. This is the missing energy. The missing energy tends to be very flat because it comes from the decay of the W. This is the pseudo rapidity of both bottoms. They tend to be very, very central. And this is the invariant mass of the reconstructed bottoms. and this is the PT of one of the tops that, again, it peaks at high masses. And this is the mass of the other one, and this is the reconstructed mass of the top button, and of course that, oh, sorry. This one peaks close to the mass of the thing you're producing. So we are going to implement the following cuts. We're going to implement a cut on the on a, either bottom on the signal of 200 GeV. We're going to implement a cut on the PT of the lepton of 150 GeV. We're going to implement a cut in missing energy of 150 GeV to make sure we're producing an energetic W. And then we're going to impose a cut in the pseudorapidity of the bottoms of 3. So here are the events. And look that we have to go to 150 inverse femtograms of a 14 TV machine to start being able to see something. So this is just the basic. So the number of events are 40, whereas in this case the number of background is 63, so the significance is very low. If you impose a cut on the PT of the top, so that means you're reconstructing the top between this, so then you reduce the background. Then if you demand the invariant mass of the top, and then the last one is that if you implement the invariant mass of the top bottom system, the numbers without any parentheses or square brackets are without imposing any B tagging. If you start imposing lively B tagging, which is 0.6 for one B tagging or 0.36 to double B tagging, then the significance go to 13 instead of 16 by imposing B tagging. The lesson here is that you need a lot of luminosity to find a 2.4 TV W prime, which is something you expect because the production of this particle is electroweak. The reach of the LHC for electroweak particles falls down very, very, very fast. And this is not new from my from this talk. It's just that in order to produce a W prime, you're essentially producing through Dredge-Young, and it's electroweak. Okay? So let me conclude. In this talk, I have discussed to you another possibility of electroweakability breaking.
Sorry, we should go back. I don't know what you're saying is electroweak. I thought it's actually a little smaller than electroweak.
No, it's electroweak compared to the standard model. It couples a little bit weaker than the first Kegge mode of the W will couple in RS.
That's right.
But it still couples at electroweak size. So in RS...
I mean, if you look at the sequential C prime and sequential W prime, I think the limits of 40 TV would be much stronger.
No, but there is because it decays mainly to leptons. Whereas mine doesn't indicate to
left. Really that.
Yes, because here the width of my W prime to leptons, look what is the branching ratio. That's much smaller than the branching ratio of a sequential W prime, that it would be 17% of the times would be into leptons. So it's a combination, it's more the question that the W prime, my W prime and my Z prime does indicate to leptons more than just being suppressed or production. In sequential C primes, you just look for resonant mu's and it's okay. So yes, as I was saying, the LHC is about to unveil the nature of electroweakability breaking. We have the Higgs. The next question is that what is next? What can we have? Well, one of the possibilities is SUSY with R parity that will give you lots of missing energy. The first two generations of S particles are quite cornered. We all know that. Not surprising. You also have X dimensions. Normally in X dimensions, the difference between SUSY with R parity and X dimensions is that here you have resonances, whereas in SUSY with R parity, you don't have. resonances. You have met. In literfeed models, at the end, you end up having something very similar to SUSY. Lots of missing energy because the tip area has an R parity. You can also have multi-Higgses, outlasting two Higgses. Let's see if they are OK or not. And you can have also Higgs fakes, et cetera. Here I have modeled you an extra way of understanding why the Higgs is light based on an extra dimensional model. But in this case, I didn't need custodial. You may ask me why. Why are you so much into not needing custodial? Well, in RS, when you put custodial, apart from enlarging your gauge group, you end up having to do a lot of gymnastics to include the fermions. Fermions tend to be a mess once you start custodial. You start having multiple partners of the top, of the bottom prime, and flavor at the end is an issue with custodial. This model flavor is equal to the standard model to the MSSM because you can trivially implement minimal flavor violation. The representation of the fermions are going to be the same one as in the standard model. So that's why I think not having custodial could be important. On the other hand, it is true that not having custodial may imply that at the UV theory you have to explain why there are no contributions cut off by 10 TV that they will violate custodial, but that's just model B. But the reason why it works is that in this case, the coupling of the Kikimos to the standard model fields is weaker compared to the Randall-Sundrum model. The soft wall has a consequence where Kikimos coupled to zero modes weakly, which means that in order to have order TeV masses, you don't need custodial. Electroweak precision observables allow you for order TeV masses without custodial, and flavor is a little bit easier than in the Randall-Sundrum model. On the other hand, this is not for free, since the coupling is weak. That means that the production of Kiki modes is also reduced compared to the Randall-Sundrum model. So it means that you need more luminosity. Kiki gluons may have already been discovered, or more than likely, when they release the TT-bar spectrum, they will put a bound on this kind of model, roughly 3.5 TV, I should say. On the other hand, if you really want to discover electroweak particles, you have to wait until LHC-14, and you really need much more luminosity because these couple a little bit weaker, and also you are producing tops, so the background kills you. Okay, that's all. Thank you. I went as fast as I could, so as.
Now you have to stay for another
5 minutes. Any more questions?
Yeah. Do you know what that metric looks like in conformal coordinates?
The problem is that in this case, conformal coordinates are difficult to implement, because this metric breaks conformal invariance. You have the log, the dilaton actually breaks conformal invariance. So in Randall-Sundrum, conformal coordinates make sense because you don't have any matter. So you can go from Y to Z trivially. Here, the problem is that that log piece is telling you.
Yeah, it looks like you have a log.
No, it's just a running of the dilaton. So conformal coordinates doesn't make much sense, because you have matter and the dilaton has a mass, so you can naively try, but it's not going to look much better, exactly. Because conformal they are non-physical here. Nu, the parameter nu, is actually an anomalous dimension of the dilaton. So
you should look at the equation again.
To the metric.
Yeah.
Is the singularity.
But that's somewhere beyond.
Yes, I'm putting a brain on white 12 to 1, where I don't want to go into problems with the singularity. This is a naked singularity, by the way. No, there is a lot of literature about soft walls and the implication on GR, and people have even done cosmology of soft walls and things like that. Yes, but that's That's why that's, this is only a motivation for me. At the end of the day, I just have the standard model and three particles here. And
but then you didn't discuss any of the blocks that depends on new. There's no dependence on new.
Yes, there is some dependence on new, but here I'm just fixing new.
Like presumably, q equals to infinity is the
cover. Yes, of course, of course, of course. And new equals to infinity, or ys going to infinity, you just recover useful RS. No, no, I'm fixing where it's here. This is what I'm fixing you for. In this point, this is the one I'm chosen.
No, but isn't that a little strange? Like, it sounds like you could, I can go to the new, why not make new as large as possible
but
and
if
solve the hierarchy problem?
No,
no,
no. No, no, because as you can see, at the moment you start increasing new, then the value of the Kikimos store increasing.
It started what?
Increasing. So here is 2.4, here is 5.2. So as soon as new increases, well, but then that's also Randall Sundrum. Randall Sundrum, if you don't care about that, then the T parameter will tell you that the mass.
No, but that's a little different, right? Because there you actually have to tune the position of the brain.
Well, here I'm tuning also the position of the brain. Yn? Why this is you have Ys and Y1.
But it sounds like you have this additional free parameter mu, which you can tune to.
Yes, but I have, but I have at the expense of having more parameters in Lagrange, which is the potential of the dilaton.
So that's what I'm getting. Like it must doesn't translate to some sort of tuning in some dimensional parameter. Otherwise, it sounds like you have actually done something. Quite
well, you have the mass of the dilaton.
So that's what controls mu.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where.
No, the dilaton mass and nu are two different, but they are not related. One is the mass of the dilaton, another is the anomalous dimension of the dilaton. So there are two different things. Or in a sense, if you want to do it not in conformal, one is the mass and nu is related to the quartic. So they are unrelated.
Said that the WW search in that case is not sensitive enough because it's not
signal.
Yeah. Even in the semi-iconic case.
Mm-mm. Here you have it.
Yes.
Oh. You're talking about the W or the.
Even well, the sum of the funding doesn't look too bad.
Well, 3.5 10 to the minus 4 picobarns.
0.3
femtobarns. So you need, what? That's 0.3 femtobarns. So with 100 even femtobarns, you have 30 events. That's. Especially because in this one, the TTR will be a much better way of looking for this.
All right, well, if there are no further questions, let's make a thank you.